Sports Day for Kia. The all-new Kia Sportage has been unleashed. And Red Energy, awarded Canstar's most trusted retailer nationally for 2021.
7 minutes past six. Hello, welcome along to Sports Day. Well, 3 weeks ago, Todd Woodbridge told us on the program that despite all the negative prognostications, he thought Novak Djokovic would still play in the Australian Open. So far, Novak has refused to declare his intentions or reveal his vaccination status. But today, out of the blue, he accepted an invitation to the ATP Cup to be held in Sydney prior to the Australian Open, one of the major lead-up events. So what are we to make of all this? Well, I'm still not 100% sure, but I do suspect Todd knows something that we don't. Everything points to him now playing in the Australian Open, which begs the question, Scoop, why have we been going through such a big ordeal? Welcome to you, Scoop.
It's a great question. Hello, Jared. Good evening, everyone. What a farce. I mean, this is absolutely ridiculous. Is he vaccinated or not? Can we just find out? We're going to find out when he gets off the plane in Sydney, because he's either going to have to do 2 weeks quarantine or not. Now,
so are you prepared to say now that he's playing? Because
no.
I think last week you said...
How would you know with this bloke?
Well, once he's turned up the ATP, I think what he's making the statement, it's his private... It's privacy.
Hang on.
That's what he's saying. Now, whether you like it or not, that's what he is saying.
Stop. Let me get this straight, because I'm actually confused. You're saying that, in this scenario, Novak Djokovic has led everyone on a wild goose chase because he doesn't believe that it's other people's business whether he's vaxxed or not. Spare me. Seriously, if that's the case, does anyone actually want him here? You're the number one tennis player in the world.
Yes.
You might be the greatest tennis player we've ever seen.
Yeah, well,
you're carrying on like a pork chop when people like, Jared, there are cleaners in this state. There are teachers. There are professional athletes. There are lawyers that can't go to work unless they're vaccinated.
Mm-hmm.
We don't all necessarily agree with it, but it's the sad reality that we're living in. If Novak can't get his head around that, I feel sorry for him.
Well, maybe he's living in a different world to the one we've been living in. I'm sure he has. Roger Rashid is sort of living in our world. He's been over there with Nicola Spirier
for
most of lockdown. Roger's coming up in a matter of seconds. Ian Cipelli is also joining us, thanks to Spinal Ease and Adelaide coach
Matthew.
He's
been grumpy lately, Cipelli.
Yeah, no, he hasn't been grumpy. He's just been shooting from the hip. He's actually been...
He had a good crack at Joe Root.
He's been revitalised, energised, because he's getting such good sleeps on the...
Spinal Ease.
Roger Rashid has finally joined us. My mail is he's doing a little bit of interval training, a little bit of the old fartlek up and down the hills in Adelaide. Welcome to you, Roger.
Thanks, Jared. Sam, yeah, you've actually stopped me. You have a breather. I'm not going to disclose what you're going to ask me, but I will see you in Melbourne at the Aussie Open.
So you're not telling us whether you're vaxxed or not, but you will be here.
Yeah.
I like that. Tell us, what regime are you putting yourself through at this stage in preparation for the Aussie Open? I like to hear guys putting themselves
through
torture.
Surely Roger's fit all year round, Jared. I can't imagine he gets into special prep.
It sounds to me like he's topping up.
No, I'm doing a little bit of top up. I've just gone through 30 minutes. I've done 200 metre sprint intervals up a slight incline, 100 metre recoveries, and I've rolled those out for 20, Jared. And then I've done 10 minutes of 200 metre backwards with a little 100 metre recovery. Gee. I don't mind a bit of
200 metre backwards.
I'm looking forward to the summer.
Hang on.
Yeah.
Running backwards.
Yeah, Sam, you should try it. It's just offering the body type just something different to look at, you know, instead of the mainstream forward motion.
Do you have to run with a mirror? It's a bit dangerous.
No. Once I hit the brick wall, I bounce back and I get under a bit of recovery and I go again.
What's more difficult?
A bit of Chad Corns in the change rooms before a game. He'd run into the brick wall. We thought, if I can get through that, I'll probably get through most of my opponents.
So are we to believe now that this is all just doing about... Novak making a point about his privacy, or are we to believe that he's been too focused on the AT, on the Davis Cup to give the Australian Open even a second consideration?
Or he's getting vaxxed between now and then?
Well, look, I think we all know that he's probably, you know, he wants this number. He wants 21.
Yeah.
And whether it happens here, we'd love it to happen in Australia. We're looking forward to welcoming. He's obviously wanted some privacy around his, the way he's gone about things. Now, yes, he's been named in the, and I'm sure he's, I've said from day one, I feel like he'll definitely be turning up. But, you know, you still have time not to turn up. You know, you could be entered as part of the team from Serbia and still be questioning your existence in the Australian summer. But I'm really sure, and I'm strong, and I'm sure Team Australia have had a lot of negotiation with them just in recent times as well, just on what this looks like and I'd have loved Novak, in my opinion. I'd have loved him to be at the forefront of all of this and actually been a real positive voice in sort of safety and health and security of sort of the greater man. But, you know, it's the way he's decided to roll. And you've got to, I suppose we've got to respect everyone for their own opinions, don't they, and their own choices. Everyone comes from a different place.
Is it fair to say we get an insight into how he's feeling by just listening to his dad, who thinks we're blackmailing him?
Well, no, I don't think so. I think they're pretty individual. Yes, they're from obviously same family, but you know what? They're also there's also a lot to say about the way. Look, I think there are some people that like the them versus me versus the world mentality, and you know they like the fight. They like the energy that creates. I'll show you sort of thing. Novak's done a little bit about that, having to make his way with Roger and Rafa there and try and show everyone that, hey, I'm their equal. And sure, he definitely is now. We know that he's probably going to go down as the greatest player of all time. But so he's liked the hunt. And maybe there's a bit of that in it here where there's a bit of fuel for him as well. But look, I know he's got his eye on the prize. And look, we hope, and I'm sure you guys do that, and the people of Australian sport, that we have the greatest players on the planet here at one time, and both male and female.
Well, the beauty is, Roger, that there was a question mark on three or four of the top 10 players, and Tsitsipas, he signed up for the ATP Cup. Medvedev signed up for the ATP Cup. So it looks as if it's going to be a full house. Jokers.
Yeah, well, a great event. And look, I think when you're a sports person, you love to compete. There's no doubt about that. The elite love to compete. There's something, when they're not competing, they all talk. When anyone's injured, they say, I miss the competition. I miss the environment. And this is a major event, a major start to the campaign for the Australian summer and into the year. And the ATP Cup's a monster for all the men. And so they're looking forward to gathering. And as you know, Tom, tournament directors, has put out the field, and it's bloody strong. If I'm allowed out of Adelaide,
might be a whole other story. Are you disappointed at all, Roger, that it's played out like this?
I just think it's been, I just think everyone's different. I mean, we've heard Roger, we've heard Rafa. They've been very quiet though, as well. They've just gone about their own business. Some people are bit more, beat more at the front. Novak's played. He's been constantly on the tour, so he's the spokesperson for the group. There's no doubt about that. I think it's his opinion. And, I just think we've got to, in the world today, everyone's got an opinion. We go with everybody and listen and deal with it how we do. But eventually, I think we all get to the starting line, and that's the beauty. At some point, as dramatised as it can become, I think we eventually get to the starting point, and that's the main thing.
Thanks, Roger. We'll see you for some fartlek training around the tan in January.
Sam, you'll have binoculars. Is that what you'll be doing, or the timer? What will you be doing?
I'll be way out in front of you. Get on your Roger.
Yeah, Roger. Yeah, watching.
Roger Rashid. Yeah, I didn't say I'd be moving. I think he'd run faster than me backwards at this stage. Still looking very good for his age. I don't even know how old he is, Roger, but he looks like he's in his mid-30s.
63.
Just before we get off this, and we're going to get to Ian Chappell next and talk some cricket. So I just wonder what the crowd reaction will be to Novak if, in fact, he plays in the Australian Open. He's never really been liked here. This will only hurt that cause.
Yeah, I know. Is he being disliked, or is it just that people prefer Roger Federer? I mean, he's in a tough school.
No, he's been disliked.
He's been disliked.
Yeah, and he's been disliked largely for this rubbish that he carries on with.
I don't think he's carried on too much most of the time. I mean, at some stages in games, he looks like he's carried on intensive care.
He's carried on physically.
And then come out and smash people off the park in the fifth set.
Well, that's rope-a-dope.
And that's okay. I mean, I don't think he's actually been disliked. He's not everyone's favourite, but I don't think he's been despised at all. I don't think it'll be much of an issue. Once he turns up, we'll be talking about whether or not he can break the record or not. But it does seem as if it could have been, yeah, I'm coming. No problems. Mm. I'm coming. I'm vaxxed. I'm here.
His dad did say he was basically being held
hostage. Yeah, and I suspect that he feels as if he shouldn't have to tell anybody, but the whole world has to tell people if you want to turn up. And if you don't tell them, well, we know anyway, because you're doing 2 weeks quarantine.
Ian Chappell's going to be turning up on this show next, live on Sports Day.
I wouldn't worry too much about his captaincy. I don't think that's very good. He's got an imagination problem that is important in Australia. His best chance with captaincy is if he takes quite a bit of advice from Stokes, and Stokes establishes himself as a very aggressive player.
Welcome back to Sports Day. That is the voice of course, the Australian great himself, Ian Chappell, who I was just thinking on the weekend, Jared, the most famous cricketer slash brand amalgamation that we've had is what? Tubby Taylor and Fujitsu?
Fujitsu.
I think Chappell might have gone past him with ease.
The spinal ease?
Spinal ease.
Well, I was looking for a reason why Chappell was a little bit grumpy in that interview with Joe Root. And we do know that it's not because he's had a bad sleep, because he's on the spinal ease. And the number one ambassador for spinal ease, Ian Chappell, Chappell Chappell, joins us on the line. Welcome to you, Chappell. It's been a while.
G'day, Jared. How are you? It has been a while, mate. But yes, that didn't make me grumpy.
Tell me, why have you got him in your sights?
Well, I haven't got him in my sights. I just, you know, I was asked a question about Joe Root's captaincy. I think he's a very good batsman, but he's not much of a captain. He hasn't got a great imagination, and I think that's important in Australia. I think that Pat Cummins will be a good captain. It'll probably take him a while to get into the job, but I reckon by the end of the series, Pat could be well and truly miles in front of Joe as a captain, and if that's the case, then Australia will win pretty comfortably.
Have they got a dearth of people that could captain if it was, you know, elected or decided that they needed someone more creative?
Well, I think Stokes would be a good captain. Aggressive players don't always make good captains, but I think Stokes has got a lot going for him. I think he's got a very good cricket brain. He's a terrific batsman. He's a tremendous bowler, and you should never underestimate his fielding. He's a terrific catcher. So he's got all the attributes, and I think he would make a good captain. Joe Root would do well to listen to him.
So, Ian, I'm fascinated by this. What makes an imaginative captain, to use your words? And who was the most imaginative captain that we've had recently, say, between the likes of, you know, Ponting, Clark and Steve Smith?
Oh, well, I'd go back to Mark Taylor. I think Mark Taylor was the best captain Australia's had for quite some time. I think he had the tactical and psychological imagination. But that's one part of captaincy. That's the on-field side of it. The really important side, I think, is the man management off the field. And I think Mark Taylor was very good at that. Michael Clarke was terrific. I think he was up there with Mark Taylor on the field. But I don't think Michael Clarke was too good off the field. I think Pat Cummins has got a chance to do both jobs pretty well.
Can I ask you, Chappell, about the Kookaburra? There was a really interesting story by Daniel Breddick in The Age today saying that we're about to release this new ball.
Vastly different proposition to the one used 4 years ago, likely to keep moving through the air and off the seam in a much more sustained manner.
So I suspect, Ian, it was designed and introduced to Australia to try and negate our problems when we go to England, but all of a sudden we haven't used it. They haven't used it, but they're used to producing a delivery with more movement through the air. Are we putting ourselves at a disadvantage here?
Well, you know, I just don't understand all this palaver with the ball. I mean, and I'm going back to the days when I played.
Yep.
You know, we didn't really take much notice of the ball. It did whatever it did. You played what came down, not what you thought was coming down. And, you know, that's really all you bothered about. So the fact that there's been so much controversy over the ball, what the Duke's ball does in England, what the Kookaburra ball doesn't do in Australia, because we've got all this controversy, it bemuses me. I certainly didn't get caught up in it when I played, and I'm surprised that it's bothering people now.
Are you surprised that we have changed the seam? And, I mean, if it does start swinging around dramatically in Brisbane, I think it's going to be a topic of much focus.
It will be, yeah. I mean, and if it does act like the Duke's ball, well, then, yes, I would say that's an advantage to England. I think England have got a very good attack for their own conditions.
Yep.
But I see the attack that England have got here as one that could struggle under Australian conditions. And I think the big difference in this series will be the difference between the Australian attack and the English attack. I think Australia is far better suited to home conditions. But if there's if suddenly they've made all these supposed changes to the Kookaburra ball, well, then you can throw out the form guide and you see, you've got to see what happens then in the tests in Australia.
Ian Chappell joining us on Sports Day. England has named their 12-man squad for what it's worth. Root, Broad, Burns, Butler, Hamid, Leach, Milan, Pope, Robinson, Stokes, Wokes and Wood. Ian, your thoughts on Mitch Stark? Shane Warne thinks he's lucky to be playing in the first test. Then we've got people we've had on this show like Brendan Julian and Merv Hughes saying that Warney's being too tough on him. Where do you stand?
Well, I'm not surprised that Stark's in this team. You've got an Australian attack that I think needs the variety of Stark. He's a left-armer. If he gets the ball swinging early on, he could be very dangerous with the new ball. And then if he's got the old ball reversing, he could be really dangerous with the lower order players. So I'd be picking Stark certainly in the first two and see what happens. If he's up to form, I think he's a part of this attack. If you've got to get rid of Stark and you bring in Richardson, well, then you've got a good attack, but it's all right-armed. And I just like the variety of the left-armer in that squad.
I think I know the answer to this, Jared, but just for what it's worth, Ian, given the inclement conditions in Queensland the last couple of weeks, any chance you'd consider bowling if you won the toss?
Oh, it would take a lot. But you'd have to be there. You'd have to see what it's like tomorrow morning. And I think I'd go back to what my grandfather, Vic Richardson, told me and bear in mind that he was a captain in the era of the uncovered pitches. And he said, 9 times out of 10, you bat first. 10th time, you think about sending the opposition in, but you still bat first anyhow. If it's not raining at the Gabba, then I think I'd be batting.
And are you believing that the bookies have got it right at $1.60, Australia the series?
I think, I mean, if England don't win the first test, then they're in big trouble. If the test is diminished by poor weather and England aren't on top in the first test, again, I think they're in big trouble.
Yeah.
I don't understand odds. I'm not a punter, but I think that Cummins will get better and better as a captain as the series goes on. And I suspect that Root's captaincy, which I don't think much of, I think it could diminish during the series. If that happens, Australia could easily win 3-0.
And one final one, Ian. How are you driving your new bed? There's 3 or 4 gears for various levels of comfort. Are you getting confused by whether you want it soft, hard or in the middle?
I just push the button and it goes to a position that I feel very comfortable in. And any problems that I have are health problems, not from lack of sleep.
So he sleeps just like you batted. You just push the button and off he goes. Ian, great to have you on. We'll chat to you throughout the series.
Okay, thanks a lot, guys.
The great Ian Chappell there. And I swear, Jared, I wasn't trying to get him to say exactly what he said.
I've heard it a couple of times,
but
you knew it was coming.
That takes me back to my childhood hearing that. Ian Chappell joining us as we go to the break.
A sports update for Tyre Power. Here to help you stay safe on the road.
He comes from a great basketball pedigree, as Ben Simmons does, but you know, I just think we're speaking about the future of Australian basketball.
Yeah.
We can't wait to see him put on a Boomers uniform in 3 years' time. We can't wait to see what he does in the NBA.
That was the voice of Chris Ancy talking about Josh Giddey, who's just going from strength to strength in the NBA. Okay, so he finally got a win today. They beat Detroit. He was pretty good. He had 12 points. And, the way Chris was speaking about him, geez, he could be absolutely anything.
Just goes about his business, doesn't he? Just gets on with it.
Pretty humble, too.
Looks a star.
Bad news for West Coast and sad news about Brad Shepherd, I reckon, who had to announce his retirement today, Jared. Ongoing concussion symptoms, 216-game career. And
huge loss for the West Coast. Unfortunate circumstance for him.
And shocking that he didn't get to be part of that 18 flag.
That was amazing, really. The calibre of player that missed out, Gaff, Nick Nat Nui and Shepherd, who was all Australian for memory that year, did his hamstring in one of the earlier finals and missed out. It begs a question. I mean, it opens a door for Petrescu Seaton to be that halfback if he can do that. But I think he was thinking about going over there as a mid.
He's got the skill set to be that player.
But ultimately, this guy is an All-Australian, a fantastic player, and made a huge contribution to both the club and the game. And unfortunately, we see him go a bit earlier than expected.
Hurts their chances to make the eight next year, doesn't it?
Clearly.
In the short term.
Yep.
Ty Power Sports Update there for Ty Power. The Summer Scorcher Sale is on now. We've got another great guest coming up right after this, Jared. The newly re-signed Adelaide coach, Matthew Nix, to join us live. Welcome back to Sports Day. We're powered by Red Energy, Cairns' most trusted energy retailer nationally for 2021. And for Kia, the all-new Kia Sportage has been unleashed. Had a pretty tough start as a senior coach did Matthew Nix at Adelaide, taking over a club that the list was obviously at a different form than it was previously, Jared, when they were close to a premiership, making that grand final against Richmond. But what a show of faith it is in his ability as coach that they've re-signed him this early and extended his contract. It's a great story.
Indeed it is. He joins us on the line with a healthy new contract. Welcome to you, Nixie, and congratulations. A great show of faith, as Scoop said, to get a second contract. Now it's about winning games and playing finals and making yourself a lifetime coach.
Yeah, thanks for having me on, guys. It's that's the ultimate challenge, isn't it? It's winning games of footy. That's what we class as success ultimately. So like every other team in the comp, we're working hard at the moment. We've had a really strong off season as a young group, and we're looking forward to try to take another step in 2022.
I can't remember the exact number, but I think it was something like 9 losses on the trot to start with. You're better off doing that in your first year of coaching rather than your third year of coach, because ultimately, if you do it when your contract's up, it's going to be difficult to sell the future. But you have turned it around really well. And did you ever lose faith in you yourself in trying to bring this group together?
It was 13 losses.
13, yeah.
It was a little bit worse than 9. But
he remembers, look, Jared. No,
I remember. Yeah, we all remember. I mean, that's probably one of the keys to it all is we remember, we learnt so much from it. You know, it's hard when you're going through it. You know, it feels like it's the end of the world at that particular point in time for people externally. But internally, we were doing some fantastic work behind the scenes. We weren't up to standard on the field, but we were developing a young group. We were setting a culture. As part of that, we were changing a game plan slightly. By no means were we uphauling it. We were just doing tiny tweaks. But it was a challenging year, and I knew that. So there wasn't any doubt there. I guess the challenge was really just building the belief in our group that we were heading in the right direction. And it probably took 6 months for us to do that. We finished off that year really well, just on field. Not so much a win-loss, but on field, our performances were at a standard that we were proud of. So that led us into last year. And last year, our guys, again, young group, I felt like we performed well without necessarily ticking off enough wins to get us into the finals, which ultimately we're all trying to do.
Matthew, we know that one player doesn't make a team, but good players certainly help. How quick, what kind of impact does Jordan Dawson have on the field for you instantly as a team next year, do you think?
Well, yeah, on field is one area, but off field is another. Jordy's gone through an incredible culture. He comes from Sydney, where I have huge respect for Sydney, as I've spent time there myself. So I know how they go about things. I know what he's learnt right from the beginning in his footy career. And so he brings that to our football club, the experience of that. He brings an incredible football intelligence on field and an awareness. So for our young group, when it is ball in hand, we've already seen that in the first 2 or 3 weeks of training this year. He's just an exciting player to watch when he has the ball in his hand. So, look, he brings a number of things. I won't be able to go through them all with us tonight, but it's exciting for the footy club, for us to put a fair bit of work into attracting him to our club, showing him what the journey we're on, the group that we're working with. We're so pleased that he made the decision to join us.
You beat Melbourne last year in an incredible game. It was it was a nail biting game, but ultimately you showed that you've got a level that you can't do on a week to week basis. But we had an insight into what the team could do if it all comes together, and it must be it must be great to be a coach to have an anchor point saying to the guys, well, this is what we can achieve if we do X, Y, and Z.
Well, you know, exactly. Again, an experience that, you know, we had probably more than one last year that we came away from, ultimately got the outcome we were after, which was a win. We had round one beat Geelong. And we were ready to go in that game and played probably our best footy. And it took that to beat Geelong, you know, an experienced side. But we took a lot of belief out of that game. And, you know, we took that throughout last season. We took that as a, you know, it works. We're on the right track. As I said, we probably had two games across the season where we walked off the field and were really disappointed and probably not proud of what we put out there. Now, that can happen with a young group. What we did do, though, was we played some pretty consistent footy. We weren't quite good enough on occasions, and we were unlucky not to get a couple more wins, but we were lucky to get a few wins as well. I mean, even the Melbourne game you talk about, it all came down to, you know, quite an interesting decision right near the end where maybe, you know, 50% of people say it was deliberate and some wouldn't. Yeah. We got the luck on that particular night. But we would have walked off from that game and been, you know, really proud of the effort that the boys put out. But it was nice to get that belief for them, you know, get the 4 points. And ultimately, that's, like I said before, that's why we're all here.
Matthew, can I ask you about late last year? There were many leaders in your footy club, I thought, that didn't cover themselves in glory with the Taylor Walker situation. You were different to that. You were probably the strongest. Is it a situation you're going to have to monitor? I mean, obviously you've had clear air now, but do you still think there's a chance there'll be people at your footy club a little bit awkward or disappointed early in the season?
Look, to be honest, no. I think it'll be the opposite. I think the fact that it's really tough, and you know, it was challenging. It's a really tough space that we went through, but we learned a hell of a lot through that period. We were able to educate ourselves, that's everyone right across the board at the footy club around, you know, what we did, what we went through, what this country's gone through, the history of the country, and we'll continue to learn. And I think that's the key to it, is we've done a lot of work out of that as a group, and it's been led and driven by Tex. He's very passionate about now making a difference. And I think that's the most positive thing to come out of a bad situation. And I think we are in a better position now as a footy club, and we will make a difference. And we've got that opportunity with, you know, the guys have already done a fair bit of work off the field. We'll continue to do that throughout the coming years. But so, yeah, to answer your question, no, I don't think we'll be worse off. I think we'll be in a better position.
What's your expectations for next year? And you're prepared to give us a game level that you think is achievable and you should achieve to give yourself a pass, Mark?
It's a really tough one because I can't tell you where the opposition are at. I can't tell you at the moment, you know, how have Melbourne come back, for example. They're the best team in the competition. They're the current premiers. Now, what sort of form will they come back in? We haven't seen the drawers yet. We've got a little bit of a glimpse into how that comes out. There's so many unknowns in what we're going to see over 2022. But what I can say is I'm really confident our group will play a brand of footy that, you know, that our members and supporters will be proud of. That's what we were able to do throughout last year. And although we didn't, you know, get enough wins on the board to challenge, to push ourselves for that finals, I got a theory that you're never that far away. And we've seen that, you know, with Melbourne, that we know they're a very, very good side, an extremely strong list. You know, they're a team that won 7 games prior to winning the premiership last year. Well, we've just come off a season similar to that. Now, we're not Melbourne's list. We're a different list, and we will have our challenges this year. We're a younger group, but I love the way our group goes about it, and they can't do any more at the moment. We need a little bit of luck, and then we'll just see where it falls in the end. But I know we'll give effort.
Rory Sloane, fully fit, or still a bit of time?
No, Sloane is fully fit. He's back out there destroying all of them in the hill runs, and I mean, he's coming off a hand operation, but his hands recovered really well. You know, that was important. He got that right, but he's flying at the moment.
Matthew, great to have you on. As Jared said, obviously a lot of faith shown in you to re-sign. Congratulations on that, and good luck for a big 2022.
No, I appreciate your time. Thanks, guys.
Matthew Nix there, the Adelaide Footy Club coach. and continues to be very impressive, I think, Jared, and very well-spoken in his media duties.
Yeah, I think he's had a fantastic start. I mean, now it's all about winning games, as it is for every coach eventually. And you know,
I was with you, by the way. I thought they lost their first 8 or 9. I forgot that it was 13. 13 and the first 13.
Hutto rang up to remind us it was 13.
13! So you got that audio? Oh, no, we don't. We're going to be back on Sports Day. We've got some special audio to play out of the break from...
Scoopy?
That was low. That was low from Zoe.
Nasty.
Scoop-de-doo.
We'll address that in the break.
And here come Everton with Damari Gray.
Welcome back.
How long's Rex been calling the world game?
That is the usually subtle Martin Tyler, one of the absolute great commentators.
Sound like he got a bit of pleasure out of
it. Our generation. I think Zoe should cut the first half of that. And every time there's a big call.
Why do you hate Arsenal so much?
Oh, I mean, you don't hate Arsenal. They're not worth hating. It's just, they're so mediocre. It's fun. And it's just such an Arsenal thing to do. I turned on this morning. It's the 78th minute, and they're leading 1-0.
Yep.
And the fans are carrying on like beating Everton's winning the Champions League. And they lose 2-1. I mean, that has happened so many times to Arsenal in the last 10 years, it's not funny. They were mediocre for the second half of Wenger's managerial stance, and they've been shocking since. It's great fun watching Arsenal lose like that. Great fun.
And Aaron Finch is out. Big blow for the Renegades.
Please don't tweet me, Arsenal fans. I can't. Aaron Finch is out tonight.
He's out.
So Stoinis missed for the Stars, and now Finch is missing for the Gades. What's going on?
Not sure. Failing to recover from a knee surgery.
Did you watch the bash last night?
I did. I tuned in for a while. Didn't keep me to the end, and that's disappointing.
So Fox and Seven doing the same games, different commentary.
Different commentary tones.
That's amazing.
Mm. I think that Bill Laurie should be called back just for a little bit of tutelage.
I think that...
I mean, this is not a 50-over game. This is a 20-over game. And I think it needs a little bit of Bill Laurie.
It needs something. But
excitement.
As I've said to you on this program many times, I think the league needs something.
Yeah, you've said that many times.
I think the league has been struggling. Let's just – so we've talked a lot about this, and I know –
is he your favourite? Is he your best ever commentator, cricket commentator? Yes, for me.
Bill Laurie?
Yeah.
Probably Richie. Bill, a close second.
Yeah, Richie was more the host, I reckon, rather than the commentator. But nevertheless.
Yeah, no, you're probably right. Yeah, probably Bill, as far as ball to ball. Yeah, and I love Tony Gregg as well.
He's amazing, isn't he? Everyone hated Tony Gregg, everyone loved Tony Gregg.
We've talked a lot about this on the show, and I think you sort of probably led this call a week or two ago, Jared, but the diplomatic boycott from the US of the Olympics is on, and it's on between China and the US in a very big way politically. So this is the White House Press Secretary, Jen Psaki, today. The
administration will not send any diplomatic or official representation to the Beijing 2022 Winter Olympics and Paralympic Games, given the PRC's ongoing genocide and crimes against humanity in Xinjiang and other human rights abuses. The athletes on Team USA have our full support. We will be behind them 100% as we cheer them on from home. We will not be contributing to the fanfare of the Games.
We will not be contributing. So I was interested in the Chinese response, which essentially dismissed the boycott. The translation came back as posturing and political manipulation. And then what they actually tried to do, Jared, is this is the classic. So they discredited the decision by claiming that the diplomats hadn't actually been invited yet. So essentially, you take that back to school days.
Mm.
It's like, well, by the way, I'm not coming to your party. Well, it's fine. I didn't invite you anyway. But, you know, this is getting... nasty.
Do you think it has an impact? Is my question.
Well,
is it just America and Australia will fall in feeling good about themselves?
It doesn't have an impact on the games, I don't think, because the athletes get to go,
which
is
good.
But I think it's done the right thing by sending a message politically.
Well, certainly they thought it sent a message.
I want to know what China's response is going to be, though.
Well, they've had a verbal response only.
No, but are they going to cut off some trade agreements?
Yeah,
well, China can get nasty, Jared.
Well, we know that, Scoop, but everyone is so interreliant upon each other. It's like it's a flurry of words, but nothing changes.
You said here yesterday last week, saying that your contacts in China are adamant that
Peng Shui is fine.
He's okay.
Yeah.
And still, we
but this isn't just about Peng Shui.
We sit
this
here
is
a
about...
week. No, I know, but it's got a lot to do with. We sit here a week later and still haven't heard from him.
No, that's true.
Another week has passed without Peng Shui actually doing anything that we can verify.
But I think it's fair to say, Scoop, she is alive and she's healthy enough.
I will happily say that when I have proof.
Otherwise, you still think she may be...
Well, the only people that are saying that she's alive and well are China and the IOC. And that's not a race of integrity that I'd really like to watch because it could go for another 100 years.
Well, Scoop, we're not going to know too much about it, but hopefully come Olympics time,
ooh,
we are going to see Peng Shui. We're going to hear from Peng Shui, and then we'll know more about it.
Are you sleeping on a spinal these days?
Absolutely. Just got to work out which button to press.
Thought Chappelli was really strong.
Thank you, Zoe.
Was that Jared on air, or was that Zoe?
That's Zoe.
It needs a bit of Martin Tyler reaction, that does. We'll see you tomorrow, folks.